A father sits relaxing in his favorite chair reading a book, when suddenly his teenage son comes into the room and says, "Dad, I need $10. The father, with eyes continuing to track the words on the page, doesn't even look up from his book, but firmly says the word, "No." The son sighs, and he departs while his father continues, absorbed in his book, appearing to care very little for his needing offspring. But the son is not deterred, and he soon returns, this time with a little more passion to his voice and a reason for making such a request. "Dad, I need $10. I only need enough gas to get to and from work. What do you say?" This time, at least the father looks up from his book, but he says in a rather annoyed tone of voice, "Not now, son. You will figure something out. And besides, my wallet is in the other room." The son again leaves, and he goes into the kitchen pretending to be busy, right? But all the while he's thinking as to how he can better plead his case in a more convincing way. He thinks, and then suddenly he remembers. He remembers something his father had told him on the day he got his license. So now, with a little more confidence and a little more ammunition in his rhetorical weaponry, he goes to his father and says with boldness, "Dad, I need $10, and remember, you told me that if I ever needed help with gas money, you would help me out." Now, suddenly the father knows he's in a little bit of a bind, because he does remember vaguely making a promise such as that. And so he can either go back on his word, which any good father would not do, or he can acquiesce to his son's request and give him the $10 that he needs. So with a faint smile, the father says, "Go into my wallet and get what you need." The son leaves, and the father happily reflects on that promise that his son had called to his attention, and he thinks to himself, "I can't believe it. My son actually does listen to me." Persistence, it can pay off. Just because the first answer is no does not necessarily mean the second and the third answer is going to be no. There is such a thing as beating a dead horse, but I've also heard the phrase, "the squeaky wheel gets the grease," meaning the more noise you make, the more likelihood you have of your request being granted, at least in some way. The Syrophoenician Gentile woman in today's text shows us that persistence with God can have huge payoffs. Jesus, our Lord, is trying to remain hidden. But friends, just as his word can't remain bound, and just as the glory of God fills the entire earth, Christ cannot remain hidden from his people. He's in a house when this woman comes in, uninvited, falls at his feet, and begins begging and pleading her case before the Son of God. "Lord, I have a demon-possessed daughter. Help me, please, I beg of you." Now, it is at this point in Holy Scripture that we hear our Lord Jesus say something that we would never expect our kind, patient, loving God to say. "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Ouch. Not exactly the response we would expect our loving, compassionate, kind God to say. "Sorry, your request denied. My help is not for you." Ever prayed to God, but while you were doing so, you thought to yourself, "You know what? He's really not listening. I really am no better than a dog, a canine in the eyes of the holy, almighty God." Maybe you've prayed for healing and it didn't come as fast as you wanted it to. Or maybe it didn't come at all and God, in his unsearchable wisdom, decided to prolong your suffering. Maybe you have found yourself praying for a loved one that they turn from their sin and make the good confession in Jesus Christ. Yet it appears as if your prayers are going unanswered and unheard because that loved one is giving every indication of being content in their sin, with no signs of seeking God's forgiveness, his mercy, and his salvation. You pray and you pray, but all you see are rotten fruits. Despite your most fervent and heartfelt prayers you could ever think of praying to your Lord and your God. Friends, when this happens, when it seems as if your prayers are going unheard and they are being unanswered, what do? Do we just stop praying? Do we just throw in the towel and say, forget about it, God's not listening? Why bother? They never get answered anyways. The Syrophoenician woman, another way of saying that she is a Gentile, not a Jew, friend, she doesn't do that. She does not make a request to God only to stop requesting as soon as it seems like her initial plea isn't met. She had a demon-possessed daughter. She had a daughter that was being dragged into the pits of hell unless that daughter received the healing that only God can give. But this woman knew, without a doubt, that Christ could heal her daughter. And so even when Jesus calls her a dog, when compared to the chosen people of Israel, this woman doesn't turn away. But she holds fast to Jesus. And she even replies with what we could say is a witty comeback. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I may be a Gentile. I may not be part of the house of Jacob by blood, but I still eat the crumbs that fall my way. I still believe in the one true God of Israel, and I still believe in his word that I have heard. This Gentile, unclean woman has faith. A faith that does not let go of Jesus, even when it seems as if he had written her off as just another unclean sinner with no lot in God's inheritance. Faith doesn't let her walk away. But her faith compels her to hold fast to Jesus and his word and his promises. I may be a dog, yes, but I'm still in the house with you, Jesus. And you have told me by your word that it is by your grace through faith that I am forgiven. And you have promised to hear every one of my prayers uttered in your saving name. This persistence and this boldness coming from this woman's faith, friends, it pays off. When Jesus hears it, he knows that she's got it. That is to say, she's got faith. She is a believer. And so our Lord responds to her with these words. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. So in the end, this faithful and this persistent woman gets what she is after. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has made many promises to his people. And we must always bear in mind that these promises will never go away. Even if the heavens and the earth pass away, the word of God will remain steadfast and true. When God says he is going to destroy a nation attacking his people, he will do just that. When God says he will give you the daily bread that you need, he will do just that. When God makes a promise, friends, you can bank on it. It will come to pass. The problem is, however, we hear these things, but whenever we leave this place, a place where there is joy, thanksgiving, prayer, gifts of forgiveness, his proclaimed word, when we leave here, the trials of this world and that pesky devil have a way of robbing us of the joy and the assurance that we should continually have as God's forgiven and redeemed people. Do you need something? Do you need daily bread? That's great. Pray for it. Ask with boldness, knowing that God has promised you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and your daily bread will be added to you. He will give to you, friends, according to his good and his gracious will. As you survey what's going on around you in this world, does it ever seem to you that maybe God has lost control of creation as nations rage and kingdoms totter? Does all the political rhetoric, saber-rattling, and leaders and power scare you into thinking that maybe God doesn't have his divine finger on the pulse of this chaotic world? It may seem like that at times, but I assure you, he does. He knows what's going on. Read the prophets. Read Isaiah. And you will see very clearly that there have been a multitude of points in biblical history where it seemed as if the enemies of God and these enemy nations had the upper hand. That is, until God finally decrees, enough. That is enough. Away with you, Babylon. That is enough, Assyria. You can stop now, Moab. Enough, Damascus. Enough, Philistia. No more Cush. No more Egypt. No longer will you torment my people as their enemy. When God speaks these things, friends, we see it does come to pass. When your sins trouble you, when they convict you, when they wear down heavily upon you as that insurmountable burden, and you begin to feel as if maybe God has turned his back on you, or even worse, maybe he's bringing down suffering upon you because of a particular sin you have committed, when you feel as if God is taking you through the throes of affliction because of something you did or did not do, brothers and sisters in Christ, recall God's word and his promise to you. Our Lord is mighty to save. He is mighty to save, and he has done so, accomplished through the person and work of Jesus. She had a demon-possessed daughter, and it seemed as if Jesus was ignoring this woman. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It seemed as if our Lord was casting her aside, calling her a dog when compared to the chosen people of Israel. But friends, the reality is, our Lord Jesus was hearing every word she said. Not one word was lost on our Savior. And by her faith, and that persistence flowing from her faith, God in his mercy and out of his grace, he granted this woman the healing that her daughter needed. So brothers and sisters in Christ, remember, when this world is trying to snuff out the light of joy that is yours in Jesus, remember and hold fast to God's promise to save. Never forget his word by which he has declared unto you, you have forgiveness for the sake of Jesus. You have salvation, eternal life of glory to look forward to for the sake of Jesus. Those promises, Christian, do not suddenly go away when we suffer or when we are feeling afflicted, when we're depressed, or in despair. Those promises, they remain. God does not forget his word spoken to his people. It is true what Scripture says. We share in the sufferings of Christ. But then ask yourself the question, how much more so will we share in his glory on the day of resurrection? We suffer here but for a little while, as St. Peter says, until our Lord will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us in his everlasting paradise, all for the sake of his son, Jesus, who died for you. So when you pray, Christian, pray with persistence. Pray with boldness, never forgetting that it is not by your persistence that God hears your prayer, but God hears your prayer because you pray in the name of Jesus. And we can pray already knowing what God has promised and secured for us, forgiveness and life eternal through his saving name. Your prayers do not ascend to the throne of grace by the manner in which we pray, nor do your prayers stay away from God because of our sinfulness. No, friends, God has promised to hear you and answer according to his good and gracious will, because we pray in the holy, saving name of Jesus, a name we pray in by the faith that God richly supplies. Your Savior, he hears every one of your words. He hears your every breath. Yes, he hears even your sighs. So whenever you say, Christian, amen to your prayer, as a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, what you are saying is, yes, yes, it shall be so. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died to make us right with God, my prayers will ascend to God's throne of grace. And for the sake of Christ, God has promised to hear every one of my prayers, and they will be answered according to his good and gracious will. His word and his promises, Christian, they will prevail. Amen.